right, rolling on. 9 o'clock in the great city of Chicago. Hoodie's on vacation. He's been in the Indiana Dunes celebrating his anniversary. I hope you're enjoying your time, my friend. Courtney Cronin is here in his stead as we're talking a whole lot of football, so no one better to have. Roquan Smith, he plays for Baltimore now. So someone just sent me this stat from @ButkusStats. How Justin Fields ranks on third and fourth down this season. First of all, average distance to the first down, 32nd, which means he has the farthest way to go on average on third and fourth down. His EPA, expected points added, and CPOE, and that is?
Completion percentage over expectation.
He's 10th. EPA per play, he's 11th. Success rate, he's 7th. Completion percentage, he's 7th. CPOE, he's 9th. Average distance to first again, 32nd. That's per Stathead, searching all third and fourth down dropbacks. That's pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the completion percentage over expectation, too, to have him be a top 10, you know, quarterback in that category with the receiving core that he has, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
And I think that you can go back to the Dallas game where, and we talked to Matt Eberflus about this yesterday, that ball to Velus Jones was right on the money. He's got to catch that.
Got to catch the football, man.
The second deep pass to Equanimeous St. Brown, he's got to catch that one. Now, Matt Eberflus wouldn't go as far to say that EQ should have adjusted his ball to the his body to the ball on that first one. He said that, you know, that's more on Fields. It was overthrown. He had beat his DB. I get it. I still think that you got to make a play in that circumstance, but you'll take that for what it is, because these receivers aren't doing him a lot of favors most times. And I know that there's been the argument of, well, look at where they are in terms of getting separation, and then you factor in the pass protection, you factor in how long Fields holds onto the ball. To be able to have numbers like that right now, that's encouraging.
Yes.
Like, that's a sign of progress, I think, that we might not have expected we would be at right now, nine weeks into the season.
So the touchdown ball to N'Keal Harry.
Yes.
I was talking to someone who would know. That said, if you go back and you pick up the field mic, you can hear the play call. Mm-hmm. And you can hear Justin at the line, sight adjustment, change the protection, change the play. That's on him. Audible to something else. Go through his read from looking at the defense and then throw a dime to N'Keal Harry. That was all Justin. That was not a Luke Getsy play call. That was a Justin Fields adjustment. That's progress.
No, it is. And, I mean, for a second-year quarterback to audible out of a play and to know which one to go to, because you have a split second to do that after you're reading the defense and seeing what – I mean, you have a gear play, you have a kill play. Like, for him to be able to execute that – in the red zone, no less. This
correct.
Went for a touchdown, a 17-yard touchdown in an area where they've really struggled this season. So to do that and utilize somebody who, I mean, he's reading matchups there. N'Keal Harry is 225 pounds. That's a great, great advantage that gives you in that part of the field. So I think Fields identifying that, like, we've never questioned his football IQ and knowing, like, you know, can he read defenses? Can he do this? It's more so the I just guess how deliberate it's been. He's slow to do that because the plays are slow to develop and because he's reading things probably a hair too slow. It's not that he doesn't know what he's seeing. I think that that's kind of been the misnomer of, like, he can't read a defense. He can read a defense. He's just not that fast at it yet.
Yeah, in his second year.
Yeah.
All right.
It takes people a lot of time. There's quarterbacks right now who are 10 years in and are still doing half-field reads.
Correct. 312-332-3776. Where are we going, Merck?
Let's go to Tim in Valpo.
Timothy, good morning. How are you, Sparkles?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Courtney. Good morning, Capillary. I tell you what, if we remember the last 5 years, I'm excited in Chicago because we have a real GM, okay? We have a real head coach. Which, you know, last year sucked. And we have a real person calling plays, and we might have our franchise quarterback. So, you know, a question was asked this morning, hey, do we trust, you know, we're getting a lot of draft capital. Do we trust this guy to make the choice? I do. Because look at what he's chose already. How many rookies we got starting?
How many? It's
Braxton Jones starting at left tackle.
Yep.
You've got, obviously, the top two, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon. Dominique Robinson's going to be working his way into a starting role at some point soon. And
yep.
then beyond that, Trenton Gill, I mean, your punter's
five.
Done tremendous.
Yep.
Yeah, so five. Five of the 11. That's
correct.
Pretty. That's a lot. But that's expected given where they were and given what they didn't have at the time that they took all of those players. They needed them to start.
Correct. Thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate you, man. 312-332-3776. Bears traded Roquan Smith yesterday. A lot of leak chatter that they're not done trying to make deals. Will they get what they want? Remains to be seen. Where are we going, Merc?
Let's go to Marvin in Chicago, Cap.
Hi, Marvin. How are you there, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, good. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Good. So I'm a big-time Bears fan, and I've been, like, breaking down just my team. And I've been seeing, like, Justin Fields, like, every replay I go back and watch because, you know, I'm not at the game. So I go back and watch, and I see there's two receivers running out because this extra max protection that the Bears don't trust in their line. But there's two receivers going out on four DBs or a linebacker. So when Justin Fields dropped back, he has no time to really get anything done. And I think that's why he gets sacked so much. That's why he runs so much, because we just and when he's throwing the ball, nobody's even catching. We need a receiver that can go out and catch it at the high point. We need just a dog out there. And it's making Justin Fields look bad. It's making Getsy look bad. I mean, we don't run slants. We don't run nothing quick. I mean, everything quick is like so far on the outside, which is one of the hardest throws to make in the NFL, and we don't have those receivers just to pick that up and get it. Like, we didn't trade it Roquan Smith, and we have Mooney not producing. We have Pettis can't catch the ball. We have a rookie dropping punts. So, and we traded Roquan Smith. I have no clue and don't understand what's going on. And somebody needs to explain to me what's going on. I have no clue what's going on with the Bears.
Okay, I'll let Courtney explain it to you. I think it's pretty easy. And, again, this does not excuse times this year where Justin's held the ball too long.
No.
Or missed.
No.
Like, there was a play, they call it a two-man game, where he had two men to the right. If the two corners are up in press, Justin is going to run the football. If one of them is, I think the number is 3 yards or more off of the receiver, one receiver is going to block his guy. The other one is going to catch the football, and they're going to pick up what they can pick up. He looked right at the guy who had no one within 5 yards of him and didn't throw the ball. So that's on him, but he's getting better at that.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to continue to see receivers that get left open. Can you shrink the times that that happens? Can
yes.
you? And to his question about max protection, you have to do that. I don't know why teams get, you know, so up in arms about utilizing your tight ends in that way. And receivers in this offense are required to block. Like, go listen to what Matt Eberflus said last week about why Equanimeous St. Brown was a captain for this team, because he blocks really well. That is a requirement when the pass protection, which is not entirely an offensive line thing, it's on so many others, running backs, tight ends, even sometimes receivers, and the quarterback. It's to be a cliche person here, it's the all 11 effect of it. So I look at it, and I think the receiving, the talent gap that you have at receiver, you don't have anybody who's winning money downs. Like, that's just the problem with it on offense and on defense. So you're making do with what you have right now, and it's not always going to be a perfect product when you struggle to get on the same page as your receivers. Now, the good thing is, I was just looking at Mooney's stats, you know, for him to go 5 for 70 the other day, that connection's coming alive. Like, we need to see Darnell Mooney every single game.
Agreed.
5, 6, 7 targets. He's averaging 6.5 right now, because I don't know what happened in the early part of the season. It wasn't just a matter of Justin couldn't get him the ball. I just think that something was off about the play calling and the execution with the quarterback, because the receiver was open in a lot of different respects. But you can still expect little things like gaps like that to happen as Fields continues to get better because of the talent that you have at the receiver position. Like, there have been moments where I feel like it's fair to say that those guys have failed Justin Fields, that he did his part and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't carry their end of the deal too.
So if you look at the game last night, take the Bengals, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals have a quarterback who's now had some time in the system. They also have Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, solid tight end, Joe Mixon. They've got weapons.
Yeah, and they don't have Ja'Marr Chase for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Much as I love him, would not be in the top three receivers on the Bengals.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. He's forced into a role here as a number one receiver that he wouldn't be anywhere else. He might be a number two, two at best, three at, like, worst, I think, for him. Like, that's his ceiling.
Correct.
And he's performing within the confines of what he has to do in for the Chicago Bears. You can't fault him for that, but he's not. This is not a role he's equipped for. He should be a slot receiver on another team. He's
Correct.
A very good receiver,
Correct.
But not a number one game changer, go win the money downs type guy.
Completely agree. 312-332-3776. So do you believe in the now, if it wasn't to you before, it should be now, clear direction that the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus are taking? And from what I'm hearing, Matt is all in on what Ryan is doing. And that's hard for coaches who the GM's job, what is that way down there in the horizon that I got to be aware of? The coach, it's I got to win right now. That's the way they think. But if they're in lockstep, that's how you build an organization. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back here to Espresso and Bannockburn. Come see us.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter, at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 1000. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show, weekday 7 to 10 here. Courtney Cronin's in for my guy Hoodie, who's on vacation. He'll be back later in the week. And then once we're out of here, you got Greeny. And then at noon until 7 into the World Series, weather permitting, we will all be at Dave & Buster's up in Vernon Hills. So we'll have a lot of fun. You'll hear Carmen, Yurik, Waddle, Sylvie, Bleck, Abdallah. Plus, should be a really cool day for the radio station all hang out together. So looking forward to it. We got Charlie and Tyler here at the controls. We got Shay Norling, the EP of the show, back at the station. And there's no way Merkin's running the board because he has no idea how to do that. So I would assume Shay's EPing the show from the board.
Listen,
and Merkin's eating cookies, answering calls.
Back in 1994 at 101 Sports, I ran the board, queued up the carts, screened the phone calls. Okay, champ? So I know how to run a board. And I don't know how to run this board, but I know how to run a board. All right.
There's no chance. Zero. Were you there the day the late Chet Kopech almost choked on a cookie?
I was in my office. It wasn't a it was a piece of chicken.
Oh, chicken.
I was in my office, and it was Justin Eiley, who was the board operator on my show. He comes into my office. He goes, "You're not going to believe this. I just saved Chet's life." And I said, "What are you talking about?"
That's true.
And he was eating a piece of chicken. He had some columnist from the L.A. Times on, media critic. Took a bite of chicken, and the guy answered quickly, and he choked on the piece of chicken, went to all fours, and Justin went running in there and gave him the Heimlich. This is all live on the air.
You sent me the audio. Yeah,
The board op didn't cut the mic, just kept it live on the air. I think he was in shock.
Who was the one that gave him Heimlich?
My former producer, Justin Eiley. It was his last day. He was going in to say goodbye to everyone.
It's a true story.
And he saw Chet on all fours and went in there and gave him the Heimlich.
I'm sure he did not regret his choice to leave the industry.
The next day, everyone wanted it. Don Imus called for the audio. The Today Show called for the audio, but we didn't give it out to anyone at that point. So.
Wow. I'll never forget it. All right, let's go to the phones. We have a call from a country that I've visited and I enjoyed greatly, especially Barcelona. We have a call from Spain. Where are you in Spain?
I am in Andalusia, which is a very southern tip of Spain, across from Africa.
And tell me your name.
Jim.
Jim in Spain.
From Illinois.
That is, you live over there now?
Yeah, once I retired from the Army, I had ran through here a couple of times and liked it. So I've got a place here, but I got a place back over there too. So I'm just here right now hanging out.
Hanging out. So tell us what is on your mind about the Bears.
Well, you know, I watch every game over here, and what is going to happen in the offseason in terms of, are they going to draft by best player available, or are they going to try and solve the offensive line and wide receivers? I mean, what's your take on that? I have a take, but it's not important, but I'd like to hear yours.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that they can do, and we have over at ESPN.com, there's an article that I contributed to yesterday that talks about why the Bears did this and what this could mean for them for the draft, because they've got 9 picks this year, including 2 twos and 2 fours. You know, the first round selection that they get is probably anywhere from 1 to 8. I think we have them as the picking 8th with our FPI right now. So if they don't think that Braxton Jones is their long-term answer at left tackle, maybe they go find an offensive lineman with the 8th pick. And then you've got those 2 twos. So potentially, you know, there's multiple fits that I think you could get anywhere from, like, you know, top 8 pick through top 20 at the offensive line. And then in the second round, sweet spot for receivers. You don't have to draft them all in the first round and expect them to hit. I mean, we saw several second round receivers this year make a big splash. George Pickens being one of them.
That's where Devontae Adams was a second round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of second round pick receivers who have panned out. I mean, they need help at that position. The thing is, the free agent class this year, it's all kind of dwindling because everybody's getting extensions where they are. They've already moved via trades.
Correct. Jim, thanks, man. Appreciate you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Where are we going next, Merck?
Let's go to Derek in Brooklyn.
Our guy, Derek. How are you, Derek?
Yo, good morning, Cap. Courtney, how y'all doing this morning? What's going on?
Everything's good.
A comment and a question. My comment is, as a Bears fan, you know, you don't ever want to see good players or great players leave, but you got to look at the bigger picture overall. So I'm a fan where I'm looking at the bigger picture, even though I'm upset that, you know, I'm a big Roquan Smith fan, but I understand the bigger picture. So with that being said, my question is, do you think, well, Cap, let me know in your opinion, what receivers do you think, I know it might not come true, but what receivers the Bears might think about drafting? And is Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State, is he a freshman or is he eligible to come out in the draft?
No, he, I believe, has one more year. He has to stay in college. My brother, who's the biggest Ohio State fan in the world, called me. He goes, dude, whatever it takes, get a pick at 24 to get that guy. Because you could tell, A, he's bigger than his dad. B, he runs faster than his dad. He also, you could tell, has been trained by a Hall of Fame caliber receiver in his father, because his footwork, his mechanics, everything he does looks like a professional NFL number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing, but that's not this year. So for me, look, you take the best. There's so many holes on the roster that you either, let's assume that they're picking in the top 5. I hope they are, because they're not trying to win. Pick in the top 5, and if there's a quarterback there and someone calls you and says they gave up 3 number ones for Trey Lance, they switched picks and gave you 2 more. So if they said, okay, Courtney, you give me number 5 or whatever the number is, I'll give you 2 more number ones on top of switching with you, and I'll throw in a 2 or a 3 or whatever it is, sign me up.
It'd be a hard offer to turn down, and where they're going to be picking, if it is in the top 10, I think that we have them at 8 right now. That's a sweet spot for a team. If you know that if you're comfortable moving forward with Justin Fields and don't just want to take a quarterback just as a security thing for next year, if you don't think it's going to play out well that way, there's going to be teams calling. Because unlike last year's class,
this class,
there weren't people calling for quarterbacks in the top 10.
But there are this year. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, just to name 3, and there's a bunch more. So we'll see what they do. Derek, thanks, man. 312-332-3776. Also, I think I keep hearing that the White Sox could be getting close to naming a manager.
Today.
I don't know if it'll be today because it's a day of a game, but maybe later this week. Usually they don't like you to make big announcements.
On a day of the World Series.
On the day of a World Series.
That's so they're like the anti-NFL. Like, correct. Just blow up everybody's spot by making a big announcement.
Correct.
On game day.
That's
okay.
Why Sunday there was no World Series game. That's why the
Royals made their
They hired a Tampa Bay bench coach, Matt Cotraro. Here's my question. Why would you hire the bench coach of the Royals, who's currently out of work because their boss got fired?
Mm-hmm.
The Royals are not a very good team. Why would you pick him over Ozzie Guillen? Because if he's that good, why didn't the Royals hire him? He was right in your building.
Are you thinking that the rumors about Ozzie in Chicago and the reuniting, you thinking that that has anything to do with it?
I mean, as Yerk was first to report, there was a meeting between the White Sox and Ozzie Guillen.
Mm-hmm.
And he met with Jerry. He's now also interviewed with Rick and Chris Getz and Kenny. Well, if you're not hiring the guy in Houston, Joe Espada, which I'm hearing that they're not, if you're not going to call Bruce Bochy, he's now in Texas, they did not. You're not calling Joe Maddon. I interviewed him and asked him. He said, I haven't heard from the White Sox at all. Why would you hire the guy who was in the building at Kansas City? You fired the manager, and you're going to not hire the guy in the building to go get a guy from Tampa. Well, if the guy's so good, why are you hiring him here in Chicago? Because you want to do something different? Hiring Ozzie Guillen for me is a no-brainer. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. So we'll keep you posted because we also are the home of the White Sox. Let's go to Rudy in Mount Prospect. Rudy,
hey,
what's
up?
How
you guys doing?
How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? My first time calling. Finally got the number. I want to know why we got so little for Roquan. That fifth really doesn't really matter. It's more of the two. But I think we could have got a second and a third. You know? He's got value. A lot of teams could have traded for him.
You were
was
not
that the best deal?
Yes.
Was that the best deal we got offered?
Yes. They had to eat almost $8 million in salary to get what they got. You were not getting a second and a third, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think a second and a fifth is a good return for a player like Roquan Smith. And I just – we like to think of this, putting our GM hats on, that it's easy to say, give me a first-round pick for this guy. Give me a second. Like, the value in the NFL, when you trade players mid-season, so few times are you going to see high draft capital. Like, a fourth for Robert Quinn was an awesome pick. And on top of that, getting two picks for Roquan Smith and moving him off your books for next season that you don't know wasn't on the books, but you don't have to pay him. Like, that's half the battle. You don't have to like fork over $20 million or an $18 million franchise tag for this guy. A second and a fifth, I think, is a really good return. I like it a lot. I don't have any issue with it.
Completely agree. 312-332-3776. Frank in Joliet is next. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Cap. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your old school, off the cuff, just blunt kind of talk week after
Thanks.
Week. It's well appreciated from old fans.
Appreciate you.
I'm going to the game on Sunday with my wife, and I can't help but be upset that, like, we're already, you turn on the radio and it's like, season's gone. We're already talking about the draft. You're already talking about restructuring everything, and it's depressing. It's like, can't we just enjoy? It sucks. Like, the team isn't good, but I just wish that things were different. But I'm going to give you a hot take here. What do you think of this?
Bring it up.
Eberflus, D coordinator, new head coach, new leader, new offensive guy. If you're going to get rid of Roquan Smith, get rid of every highly paid player and just start over. Get rid of Montgomery. Get rid of Jackson. Get rid of them all. And if your defense is giving up 50, you got, I mean, people that say that Roquan Smith is, yeah, he was a good player, but you're giving up 50 against a team that you almost beat. Philadelphia Eagles put up 26, and the Bears only gave, again, worked. They were the highly high team that scored the most points on them. They almost beat the Vikings. And in all honesty, they almost beat the Packers. It's like, they have good pieces, but did Roquan Smith make that big of a difference?
Who almost beat the Packers?
It was a Nerlacker.
Who almost beat the Packers?
Bears were right there.
They lost 27-10. Frankie, come on, man.
Wait, there's moments in the game, though, be honest. There's moments in the game that shift. It's like, if you look at the Cowboy game, they were down 5. If you look at the final score, yeah, it looks terrible, but you had
yes.
moments.
They gave up 49 points.
But you had your moment.
It doesn't matter. They don't.
To the point where you were down. And that's where, to me, it's like we're already writing off the season. It's like this team has – this is a team that's still trying to find themselves, and they still are – they fight.
Frank.
I wish that more people talked about – I guess the season is just – it's still going. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl or go to the playoffs, but
– Well, then, Frank, you just – Frank, you answered your own question. They made their choices clear when they let – I said this earlier – Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith, Allen Robinson – and didn't replace any of these dudes with anything but draft picks or middling vets. They didn't play in the deep end of the pool.
No, this season was not meant for that.
Correct.
Like, you have to tear it down to the studs before you can start building it up again. And I get it. For some fans, they don't want to sit through an entire season of that. You want to, I mean, everybody wants to compete every year, and that's just not viable when you're trying to build something sustainable.
He just said, we're not winning a Super Bowl or even making the playoffs. Then what are you doing? You're trying to build to get to that level.
So you have to give them credit, because when I covered the Minnesota Vikings, that's a team that's okay sometimes being mediocre. The way that I've always used this analogy is that they're not a team that wants to go all in for a Super Bowl. They want to be relevant. They want to sit at the cool kids' table, but they never want to be queen bee at prom. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this team, at least right now, is telling you via their moves that they're making and their overall philosophy of somebody that they just hired who is, you know. Don't think that Roquan Smith was let out of this building if Matt Eberflus doesn't sign off on that. And he is a defensive coach, and that is a key part of his defense. He signed off on it.
He did.
And he's okay with that, knowing that the short-term sacrifices you make can set you up for long-term success.
Well said. 312-332-3776. Worst weekends. We always have fun with that. That is next on ESPN 1000.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n J-Hood.
Snorling creation. I think it's been a blast to hear him come up with these worst weekends. So we hand it off, and we're at Espresso up in Bannockburn. Just saw the great John Greenberg from The Athletic walk through. It's been a lot of people coming in here today.
It's a nice crowd.
Oh, it's been awesome.
Everybody I heard got the David Kaplan.
They did.
On the menu.
On the menu. Make sure you order that, Greenberg. That's right. So come on up to Espresso in Bannockburn. It's at the corner of Waukegan and 22. And then from noon till 7 tonight, we'll have Carmen Yerk, Waddle Sylvie, Black Abdallah. The whole station's going to be at Dave & Buster's in Vernon Hills. We'll have a good time. So looking forward to playing some Papa Shot. I wonder if they have Space Invaders, old school Space Invaders. That was my game back in the day.
A little skee-ball.
All right, skee-ball. There's another good one, but I love Space Invaders. All right, Snorling, what do you got, Sparky?
I think I have one of the best worst weekends we've ever done. I have two separate guys who I saw at the bar on Halloween Saturday. I will get to my Michigan State Spartans, but I want to start with someone from our own air. This happened yesterday, and I know you're thinking that's not the weekend, but back before legalized sports betting, when people had cash bookies, the bookies would change the settle date from Monday to Tuesday during football season. And we do this on Tuesdays during football season. So Monday qualifies. Yesterday, during Waddle and Sylvie, one Mark Silverman had an emotional reaction, I heard, to Roquan Smith being traded. Meller said he was crying during the breaks. He felt a little out of sorts. And he did something very uncharacteristic of Sylvie. He dumped himself on the air. Listen to this.
What would be your celebration?
Oh, I
what? Oh my God! You just had to dump yourself!
He thought he was doing Crosstalk Uncensored live on the air. And so he was asking Waddle to do the Jalen Waddle celebration. Waddle asked if Sylvie would have a touchdown celebration, and Sylvie inappropriately said he would poop himself.
Wow.
Okay. I've never had to use the dump button on myself on air. Have you?
I have not. I've come close a couple times because, you know, it's amazing. I do this for a living and have for a very, very, very long time. Why I get so enraged over the Cubs, first and foremost, the Bears, why I allow them to get my blood pressure up, I don't know. My wife said to me one day, okay, I get that your sport's crazy. I get you do this for a day. You're beat red. Why are you screaming at the television? That's just who I am, I guess. But I've never had to dump myself. Close. But that's awesome what Sylvie did. Awesome. Shay.
All right. Getting to the guys I saw at the bar, we had an Aladdin was at this bar I was at for Halloween. There was a guy dressed as Aladdin. He was there with, I presume, his girlfriend, who was dressed as Jasmine. And she left the bar with a different guy.
Ooh.
So Aladdin bellied up to the bar all disappointed. Now, I want to get to the second one, the second guy in the same thing, because they were together. His friend then walked over to where we were sitting and started hitting on my wife right in front of me.
Okay, wait.
How did you handle that?
Well, I was laughing because I was looking at Aladdin laughing while they were doing this, because it was clear they were trying to arrange some sort of like, oh, we'll find two new girls. And he's talking to my wife and his friend. So my wife gets up with her friend to go to the bathroom. And when he sits down in her chair waiting for her to get back, and I just look over and I go, hey, buddy, you're in my wife's seat. You're going to have to get up when she gets back. And he looked at me terrified and told me he was very, very sorry.
Yeah, that's not a worst week. I mean, yeah.
How about Aladdin having his girlfriend leave the bar with a different guy?
What was the other guy dressed as?
I didn't notice, but I know I saw her walk out with somebody else.
A Chippendale. Admit it, Shay. You thought it was kind of cool, though, that... Yeah, the guy was...
I felt powerful. Also, yeah. We have to derail
exactly.
Worst... We have to derail worst weekends.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Did we make another deal?
Buster Olney is reporting via Twitter that Pedro Grifo, longtime bench coach of the Royals, is expected to be the next White Sox manager, with an announcement that could come later this week.
Wow. So let me ask you a question. I just said this a moment ago, if you missed it. So you're going to pass on Ozzie Guillen. You're going to hire the bench coach of a team that just fired their manager and hired another bench coach from another team from outside the organization. This guy was right in your building, and you're not going to bring him in? And we want him? I don't get that. I don't get that at all. Ozzie Guillen would have been, PR would have been amazing. He's a proven winner. And you're going with Pedro Grifo. Good luck to you. I hope it works.
Is
it on our air.
That they've already done this song and dance before?
It ended in a World Series.
No, not just with Ozzie Guillen, but like going back to the well, rehiring somebody, right? With the La Russa stuff. I mean, is it possible that they want to go a different direction because they've already done the second go-around with the same manager that they've had before?
Maybe.
I'm just thinking of like the optics of it, of what this organization needs to do to turn things around. Do they see it? And I mean, he was obviously a wildly successful manager. Personally, I would be sad to see him leave the broadcast because I love watching him post game.
Oh, he's awesome, and it's great for the TV station at NBC Sports Chicago where I work. He is beloved in that. Like, if you went up and asked any of the people on the crew, I'm not talking about his bosses, his partner Chuck. Or Chuck Garfine or Frank Thomas. I'm talking about you ask any of them who run camera, floor direct, produce, direct, audio guy. Every one of them says, our favorite guy in the building. Mm-hmm. He's the best. Disappointing. Disappointing from my seat, but it is what it is. All right, that's Worst Weekends and breaking news. Pedro Grifol expected to be named the White Sox new manager. Take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. We've got to get to the Captain Jay Hood, Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day, and more. Be right back.
This hour brought to you by Twin Peaks. Got an appetite for football? Head to your favorite Twin Peaks and catch games all weekend. Grab a 29-degree draft beer and enjoy 360 degrees of TVs.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, wrapping up the show, we'll get to the Chicago Cut Steakhouse, Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day in a moment. Again, breaking news, Buster only. He's the only one that's reporting this, but I've been texting with some people who I trust, and they're hearing the same thing Buster's hearing, that Pedro Grifol, the former bench coach of the Kansas City Royals, is going to get the White Sox managerial job over Ozzie Guillen. I don't understand the hire. Again, Rick Hahn did not get to hire who he wanted the last time. That's a fact. Jerry decided they were getting Tony La Russa. It did not work out. Tony now is in Arizona going through his medical issues. We wish him well. This time it was Rick's call who he was getting. And he did not want Ozzie. That's clear. He wanted Pedro. I ask this one question. If Pedro was the bench coach in Kansas City and he's good enough to go manage the White Sox, then why didn't, when they fired their manager, Mike Matheny, why didn't you promote him within?
Are they keeping the other coaches that were part of that staff?
They haven't said yet.
Could just be a clean house thing, right?
But if a guy's that good, that a team that thinks they're close to winning a
right.
World Series, wouldn't you think he would get that job?
Do the Royals think they're that close to winning a World Series?
No, the White Sox.
Oh, I mean, yeah. But if they're hiring him, then they clearly think that.
If Rick does. Rick thinks that. I don't understand that hire. I don't. Now, again, I hope it's they're on both stations I work at. The White Sox games are on. I am a Chicago fan. I'm a Cubs fan first and foremost, but I don't root against the White Sox. I have some of my closest friends in my life and my brother are diehard Sox fans. I hope they got the hire right. If you had said, okay, we picked Bruce Bochy over Ozzie, all right, you picked a guy who won three Worlds. I get it. You picked a guy who was in the building where they made a managerial change, and they didn't want him. That's my concern.
Apparently, he's been a candidate for a couple jobs in the past, like Tigers twice,
uh-huh.
Orioles, Giants. So, I don't know, just that sort of resume that he already has, I guess that can yield some good things. But I know, given what we heard from Yerk starting out last week, with Ozzie Guillen's name popping up in the search, or at least of interest for the Chicago White Sox,
uh-huh.
That's got to be disappointing for some fans. I bet there are a lot of people wanting him back as a manager.
No question. Now, selfishly, I get to keep working with him,
mm-hmm.
and we get to watch him on television.
Where he excels. He
excels.
Excellent.
He, Chuck, and Frank, whatever iteration of the show, it's awesome television. Okay, this is Rick's hire. Obviously, he's in charge. Mm-hmm. If this is who he wants, you got to let him hire who he wants. I just hope he got it right. That's my concern. Let's play the Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's
not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Let me ask you, when you do get the breakfast, Courtney, will you get the David Kaplan?
Okay, so I think you have to, because if Cap has his own item named after him, and clearly it's curated by him.
Yep.
I think that you have to do that. What is it? I don't even know.
I'm guessing it changes every week, right?
You know what, Merkin?
Merk.
From the top rope.
You know what?
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And that was a cheap shot unnecessarily taken by Merkin. So, I don't know. I may rent a car today, so because you know my vehicle, and do a drive-by. I can't speak to what might be scrawled on your garage at your palatial North Shore estate.
Are you trying to intimidate me? Is that what you're trying to do?
I intimidate you when I walk in the room.
Sylvia and Abdallah were talking yesterday about potentially walking by your house, trick-or-treating, maybe throwing an egg or two at your house. And I was going to defend you, Cap, and say, you know, you do nothing wrong. No reason to do that.
There is zero chance that Sylvie would do that.
He might have his kids go do a D's Nuts joke on you. I was hearing that, too.
Whatever.
Can I just say, by the way, we had no trick-or-treaters last night at our house. Not one. That's disappointing.
We didn't either because nobody was home. My wife was at work and I was at work. Yeah, she left a bucket of candy.
Was it gone?
Yes. So, but I don't know.
Did you see?
Might have been a Braxton Silverman that decided he's going to take the whole bucket. I don't know.
Did you see there was a viral video that went around, and I don't think it was from this Halloween. It might have been from a past Halloween, but it went around this week, and it's a young kid. He goes up to one of those houses where they leave the bucket on the porch, and they had a Ring doorbell, and he takes the bucket, he dumps all of the candy in his backpack, flips off the camera, and then walks away.
That's pretty awesome. Like, if you asked Sylvie and Allie, which of your two kids would most likely take all the candy right out of the bucket, it would be Braxton. 100%. Absolutely. Like, Braxton will be the fullback on the football team, and Mason will be either the quarterback or the kid broadcasting the game. They're just two different. They're awesome, but they're two different kids.
My son Brett worked at High Five this summer, which is a day camp, and Braxton was there. Mm-hmm. He used to come home every day with a different Braxton story. All the counselors loved Braxton over the summer.
Those kids are outstanding. Outstanding kids. Love them. Courtney, a lot of fun.
Super fun. And I did get the David Kaplan. You can't see it on our Twitch stream right now, but I am going to eat it.
There you go. There's the breakfast.
The woman of my word.
Come out to Espresso in either Glenview or Bannockburn. We're in Bannockburn today. It's an awesome breakfast spot. And you never know who you'll see. Michael Jordan's eating in here. Scottie Pippen. Olin Kreutz is here all the time. A whole bunch. We've got huge station news coming up at noon. We'll all be at Dave and Buster's today in Vernon Hills, so come see us. Thank you, Tyler Aki, Charlie Bevins, Randy Merkin, jerk, and Shay Norling. We will see you tomorrow at 7. Keep it locked right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Take that from Chicago.